And now it's time for Foodstuffs, our weekly look at food and food culture in the Granite State. Enna Grazier's kitchen is a lot like a normal home kitchen, except she's got a few things most people don't have at home: a commercial food production license and countertop-sized tools that turn cacao beans into carefully crafted chocolate bars. NHPR's Shelby Elotmani reports.
Here in Enna Grazier's kitchen, you'll find, among other gadgets, machines that look like they belong in a chemist's lab.
So as you can see, this is my winnower. It's kind of a MacGyvered contraption of a shop vac, a piece off of a Champion juicer, some PVC parts, some machined aluminum parts to make it all fit together, and a bucket. So let me get another bucket and I'll show you how it works.
A winnower sorts out the edible parts of the cacao beans, called nibs, by vacuuming up the lighter, inedible parts of the bean.
And as it's falling in here, the nibs are coming out here.
It's a long way from here to the finished product, which is a shiny, gorgeously wrapped bar of what is simply called Enna's chocolate.
Yeah, it's a little piece of Enna with each batch, with each bite.
Today, she's grinding beans from Honduras. But she's also worked with beans from Madagascar and Uganda, to name a few.
It's a very complex process, but it's not so complex. You have one ingredient that's been very carefully grown and cared for from start to finish. That's going to result in a really beautiful final ingredient, which is the chocolate.
Unlike the chocolate you might find at your grocery store, Enna's bean-to-bar chocolate has only two ingredients: cacao beans and organic cane sugar. Grazier never planned to become a chocolate maker. In college, she studied anthropology and photography, but she's always loved chocolate, and she says in a lot of ways, chocolate making really isn't so different.
I want to know about the human experience. That's my bottom line thing I'm most interested in, is what your experience is and where it's coming from, what's driving you, and what's different for somebody in a different part of the world. So I'm looking at chocolate in this broad sense of not just the confection flavor. I'm looking at the economy of where it's from and how it's grown, and the circumstances for the people who are growing it. As I learned more and more about chocolate and discovered that I could, with these small machines, make it myself, then I just dove in 100%. It's like I fell down this rabbit hole of exploring how it's made and what the flavor potentials are.
Those flavor potentials can give away the chocolate maker's roasting style. Chocolate makers all develop their own roasting style according to their own preferences.
And yes, you can tell, oh, this person prefers a lighter roast, or this person is over roasting, or this person doesn't mind the gritty quality.
In this way, chocolate making is a creative act, and it's also relatively expensive.
These bars are $12 each. One batch takes 50 hours of work, and it's impossible for me to sell it for less than $12. Even that is kind of painful.
But from Grazier's perspective, her chocolate is sort of like a bottle of wine. It's expensive, but it's an experience meant to be savored and shared with other people. She compares chocolate's lack of availability and diversity to buying apples at the grocery store.
Really, in the world of apples, there's a world of flavors and genetic variety, and cocoa's the same way. Every seed will produce a new tree with new flavor, different flavor potential. What we're doing is exploring these less known varieties that are cultivated and cared for in a very, very special way.
At the end of the day, Grazier hopes her chocolate will open the door for people to discover the rich flavor and diversity of chocolate. For NHPR, I'm Shelby Elotmani.